Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And, oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to Thursday. Turbo Thursday around here. We got a sound effect for that? We still kind of have a sound effect for that. We're going to play it anyway. Let's go ahead and play a Turbo Thursday.
Could mean that that point in time inherently contains some sort of cosmic significance, almost as if it were the temporal juxtapoint of the entire space-time continuum.
It is indeed the juxtapoint in the space-time continuum. Turbo Thursday, because we're getting you as fast as we can to Friday. Welcome to it. And that is JP on the board. Hey, man, how you doing?
Doing good.
Good.
Another beautiful day. I feel like it's been nothing but beautiful days.
It's
since
been
here.
Like gorgeous. This is the weather Jeeps are made for.
Yeah, exactly.
And I have yet to get the top off my Jeep, and I've got to do it sometime soon. But yeah, it's been gorgeous. Yeah, for those of y'all who don't know, the Right Side Studio actually overlooks a golf course, which makes it even harder at times. But anyway, hey, we got a great show laid on for you. It is indeed Turbo Thursday. You know what that means. At 3:30 today, we're going to have a round with Butters and Lee coming up at 3:30, where we just kind of see what their thoughts are. They're great folks that help the things run in the background, and so we'll see what Butters and Lee got going on. And then I got a triple dipper par excellence, so hit it, man.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper. Three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. So out the gate, we got to talk about it. It's the biggest news story in this part of the world, the Storm Tracker. We're going to talk about several things that all surround what has been happening really in the last 2 weeks, but especially what happened in the last 24 hours as Hurricane Milton hit the shores. I know that most of y'all are already kind of tracking on this yourselves. You've really been looking at it because this is an audience that cares, and I get that. But we're going to cover down on a few nuances and even some of the politics involved with Storm Tracker. That's number one on the Triple Dipper. Number two, I didn't get to it yesterday, so by golly, it's on today. The trans agenda. And it's just as well that it waited for an extra day because I've got more information now to go with it. Like, I don't know, doctors losing their licenses because they won't, you know, transition kids. Or how many hundreds of millions of dollars are being made by hospitals for doing surgeries on minors? I mean, I just look at this stuff and think this is gross, this is evil, and we're going to talk about it, the trans agenda. That's number two on the Triple Dipper. And then number three, so Kamala Harris has got her, you know, last-minute push, her media blitz, and she's hitting all of the different genres. She's got the podcasting, she's got the radio, she's got the TV, she's got the Zoom calls, she's got all of it. And it's turning into quite the word salad fest, and I'm calling it the word salad bar. So we're going to take a little trip and belly on up to the word salad bar, number three on the Triple Dipper. All right, well, let me jump over here to the opening monologue, as always. We call it the Right Side Way, the Right Side Way monologue. And I'll start off by just saying this. All right. For those of my liberal progressive followers, the ones who like to take issue with virtually anything that I say on social media, just go ahead and prepare to be triggered. I'm going there. There. The source of all consternation and the symbol of what too many of the liberal progressive wing of society have the concern of being the root cause of the great divide in public discourse. What are you talking about, Phil? I'm talking about the Bible. I'm actually going to reference the Bible today, so hang on. Look, The first thing I want to point out is that I do believe the Bible. But I'm not asking that you suspend any of your own disbelief in the concepts of a loving and omnipresent God or of Jesus being our Savior. You're welcome to choose not to believe if you want to, but I do believe. I do believe those to be true. But today I'm looking at the Bible as what many have forgotten to acknowledge it as. The Bible is not just a source of our faith in the Word of God. The Bible is also a great historical record. It's a source of cultural commentary, if you will. Because you see, the Bible is both those things. It has transcended time with no changes, a literal recounting of times and places and cultures and forgotten peoples and cultural divides and wars and famines and natural disasters. Biblical scholar Josh McDowell, in his book called Evidence That Demands a Verdict, great read, by the way, Evidence That Demands a Verdict, he recounted the facts of biblical archaeology and the biblical historical record. It's part of the proof of God's existence that caused him, Josh McDowell, to actually convert to Christianity after first being an atheist. Literally, he was challenged by some friends. all right, if you're such a smart atheist, go prove the Bible wrong. And he couldn't. He actually came to the logical conclusion that in the absence of proof, that it was wrong that he would accept that it could therefore, if it was, basically he had to accept that it had to be right. A choice of the heart made with his head. Well, in that vein, an interesting study emerged not too long ago. One recounting of it can be found on the website called Religion News Services from back in April of 2022. Archaeologist Stephen Collins is the lead archaeologist in an ongoing dig near the Dead Sea at a site known as Tal al-Hammam. Tal al-Hammam, in the course of the dig, Collins's team from Trinity Southwest University, they found overwhelming evidence of an apocalyptic event. They could find evidence in their archaeological dig of melted rooftops and disintegrated pottery and unusual patterns on rock formations that are generally associated with intense heat. Evidence that for several centuries after whatever the event was, that the 100 acres of the site or so lay fallow and had no growth whatsoever. Well, in the journal Nature, he finally conceded that the incineration on that location, the timing and the evidence of the incineration, all appeared to match the biblical recounting of Sodom and Gomorrah. The recounting that I read said by daring to postulate this finding that Collins brought down all the academic versions of hellfire on himself. But yet experts from 19 different research institutions are said to have agreed with Collins that the findings seem to indicate that a massive airburst or a comet did destroy the community at Tal al-Hammam in an area and the approximate timing of the biblical Sodom and Gomorrah. All right, let's assume for a minute that the findings of Collins' team are in fact Sodom and Gomorrah. Does it lend credibility to the biblical story? I would say yes. Although some will be quick to point out the timing is just not perfect, or that the biblical recounting of Lot and his family fleeing with the advice of angels, well, that's just too fanciful. Okay, if you don't like that part, how about the rest of the story? A city that had become so depraved that strangers passing through it were no longer safe. That overly sexualized and often violent individuals felt so bold in the storyline we read about Sodom and Gomorrah that they could bang on the door of a neighbor's house and demand that he send out their male guests that had arrived so that men of the town could rape them. I mean, that's the recounting of the story. In a world, by the way, that now, modern day, sees drag queens exposing themselves to children like we saw most recently in Chattanooga, does the biblical account of the behavior of the men of Sodom and Gomorrah seem that far-fetched anymore? And the simple answer is no. So why then are we shocked to find out that what is described as having occurred 1,500 or 1,700 years ago in B.C. may in fact be repeating itself? Look, I used to read scripture and I'd hear of biblical accounts of child sacrifice and think, wow, what does it take to get a society to the point that sacrificing their children is considered normal? And then, not so long ago, in the midst of all the liberal rage against the Supreme Court for daring to limit the Biden FBI, for daring to limit Roe v. Wade, the Biden FBI had a Catholic pro-life activist arrested at his home in the presence of his wife and seven children for allegedly just doing nothing more than shoving an abortion activist out of the way, who, by the way, the abortion activist had been shouting obscenities in the face of the man's young son. Look, it was an incident that occurred even 2 years prior to the arrest, an incident which the abortion activist allegedly, you know, had already tried to sue the man for to have the case dismissed. Or how about this? How about we consider Stacey Abrams? Ah, the erstwhile genius of the liberal left who not so long ago announced in a public forum that the notion of a heartbeat in the womb at 6 weeks is just a fallacy. A fallacy. It's a myth truth calculated by men to keep women subjugated. Whatever. The truth is that what we're seeing right now is the ease with which segments of society have come to the notion that sacrificing a child is okay, as long as it suits the needs of the one doing the sacrificing. So we're really not that far from the biblical stories again, are we? But it's really hard to compare anything that I've talked about so far to the transgender movement, the way it affects kids. Transgenderism, the notion that someone can be born of one gender and then change to another, or identify to another. Look, it's a mental disorder. It is not a physical disorder. It is a mental machination that defies science and reality. And yet, somehow, the left has embraced this notion of gender fluidity, and an entire cottage medical industry has sprung up on the treatments, the medications, the counseling, the surgeries, the lobbying efforts, all to demand and cajole that this disorder have to be accepted, even when it comes to minor children. Look, there is no other mental disorder in the world in which the healthy are required to join the unhealthy in their unhealthy behaviors. I mean, think about it. If somebody was depressed or bipolar or suicidal, we would work and pray to lead them out of it, right? But no, the transgender agenda demands that we join them in their fallacious thinking, or else we are the problem. And like I said, that's even when it involves minor children. Senator Ted Cruz right now is running a competitive race to keep his seat in the U.S. Senate. He's out there in Texas running that race against his opponent, Democrat Colin Allred. And Colin Allred, by the way, is slated very recently to give a keynote address at the upcoming conference for the Human Rights Campaign. If you're not familiar with HRC or the Human Rights Campaign, that's the LGBTQ activist organization that also recently promoted the idea of punishing parents who refuse to transition their children when they merely suffer from gender dysphoria. I'm telling you, Sodom and Gomorrah have nothing on this stuff. But the Old Testament is not out of line with the New Testament. Biblical archaeology and biblical cultural recounting, it continues well throughout the New Testament as well. And Jesus dealt with it firsthand when he rebuked his own disciples for trying to keep children from asking for his attention. In a moment of candid concern for the well-being of children, Jesus told his listeners in Matthew 18 that when it comes to children, here's his quote, quote, and I'm reading from the Message translation. He said, if you give them a hard time, bullying or taking advantage of their simple trust, you'll soon wish you hadn't. You'd be better off dropped in the middle of a lake with a millstone tied around your neck. Doomed to the world. Doomed to the world, he said, for giving these God-believing children a hard time. Hard times are inevitable, he said, but you don't have to make it worse, and it's a doomsday to you if you do. Now, that's the paraphrase from the Message, but it gets the message across. So, yeah, I choose to take the Bible literally. I do. I personally believe that it is the unerring Word of God. But even if you don't believe that, at the very least, you have to give it some due for its ability to recite the records of historical culture and geography and world events. And I'll be honest, it seems to be perpetuating itself. As Solomon once said, there is nothing new under the sun. And evil, by the way, evil still wants our kids. Evil still walks among us. Evil still bangs on the door and demands access to our precious kids. And I believe that God's position on that is pretty clear. Drag queens, pedophiles, and parents who sacrifice their children to the little g gods of culture and enlightenment, they deserve nothing more than to have a millstone necklace and be cast into a lake. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there you have it. Yeah, think about that. The Bible, I do believe it's the unerring Word of God, but even if you choose not to believe in a faith-based way like I do, you can't get away from the fact that that book is a book that is replete with history and geography and cultural recountings that goes back thousands of years. It's a record of what has been. And as a record, some of what we're seeing in society today was already being perpetuated thousands of years ago. And it was wrong then, and it's wrong now. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right. Text lines are open. Text it or call it. Same number for both. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. A bunch of y'all already figured that out. My gosh. Y'all are just jumping on board, man. All right, ruffians, just jump on in where you can and hang on. Let's see what we got here. Casey Junebug from Hartzell says, our society is crumbling because even Christians don't read and study the Bible. Thank you for pointing out the validity of God's word. Thank you, Junebug. I appreciate you, and you are correct. John C. from Madison. John C. from Madison says, I saw a video not too long ago about the area of Sodom and Gomorrah. They found sulfur balls everywhere. I have seen that. You seen that too? I see you nodding your head.
It's pretty impressive, you know, stuff like that. You know, don't want to go on a little tangent here, but there's also a video that we studied in school. I went to a Christian school about the quote, real Mount Sinai, which is nearby. And, you know, there's a big rock split down the middle. The top of the mountain is ashed out from supposedly when Moses got the commandments. You know, just cool stuff like that where it comes to life almost. Yeah. It's really impressive.
Yeah, I mean,
that stuff.
People don't realize, too, that a lot of the places where biblical archaeology could be are in hard to reach places and countries that are not entirely friendly to the archaeology. Mm-hmm. That's very cool. Greg from Athens says, in the words of Rush, ditto. Great monologue. Thank you, Greg. I'll take a ditto anytime. Rose Ellen from Harvest says, And there's 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 that says, "Be sober, be diligent, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." That pertains to us today and to the LGBTQ, ABC, whatever movement. Rose Ellen, you are correct. John M. from Huntsville. We got all kinds of Johns. We got to put initials on them now because we got Johns and John M's and John C's. Anyway, John M. from Huntsville says, "Hey, Phil, there's a very old saying among biblical archaeologists, quote, every time a spade goes into the ground, a liberal gets buried." Wow. Wow. That's I get it. Brian from Huntsville says, Matthew 19:4 from the NIV says, "Jesus said, let the children, little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." There you go. Jeff from Indiana says, "You know, Phil, when all this craziness came about is the same time that we started closing down mental institutions, because some of the things these people are spouting used to be looked at as being crazy, and now they're not housed in mental institutions. They're housed in our education system. People that were once considered mentally ill and now just considered enlightened and woke. Time to bring back the institutions, I say, because these people have deep-seated problems." Well said, my brethren. Allie from Athens says, "If they succeed in cutting up our kids surgically or otherwise, we are cooked as a culture." Well, that's exactly right. I mean, listen, the whole millstone thing, suffer unto me the little children. Jesus, I mean, he was not playing. There were very few times in Scripture where it singled out a demographic of people. I mean, you can find a Scripture that it says that a pure and undefiled religion is to care for widows and orphans in their distress, right? You can find Proverbs 31 that talks about what a godly wife or woman would be. And then you can find places like this in Scripture where it says, "Suffer unto me the little children, and woe unto ye who puts a stumbling block in front of them." And I'm just saying, there's very few times that a actual physical demographic of humanity is set aside in Scripture that way. And this is one of them. And yet, is it any wonder that the evil's after our children? I mean, there you go. TL from Huntsville says, "Phil, a very thought-provoking monologue from ancient history to modern times. We ought to think about all our parents, our generations, our own kids and grandkids, and now think about the trans movement has already robbed thousands of kids who've been deceived into permanently changing their bodies from that same future blessing. It is evil." It is evil, TL. It is absolutely evil. More on that and the first Dipper of the day, Storm Tracker, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I'm talking about this one. I do mean this one right here, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. All right, hey, listen, we're going to move into the first Dipper here momentarily. I've got just a few more text messages that I'll try to stay caught up on. Bruce from Springville says, "Those transgender pedophiles and others that want to hurt children will definitely see a lake, all right, the lake of fire." There you go. Thank you, Bruce. Jerry from Decatur says, "Airborne on your monologue. Your audience should Google Meteor City, Arizona. Everything around that mile-wide hole was subjected to intense heat." Okay, fair enough. Chuck from Oneida, Tennessee says, "The problem is people don't know what a Christian is or is supposed to be. They think it's cool to claim the title without actually experiencing the actual transformation which comes with the blood of Jesus." Well, there's two parts to the whole thing, man. It's a relationship, first of all. There's two parts to being a Christian, really. It's making him Savior and also making him Lord. Making him Savior is the immediate part. It's the most necessary part. It's where it all begins. But then making him Lord of your life is really the transformative place for the day-to-day life still here on this earth. So anyway, it's not that your works based whatsoever. It's a relationship. There's forgiveness. But nonetheless, making him Lord of your life is where really cool stuff happens while you're still walking this earth. Colin from Decatur says, "Spoiler alert, the section on child sacrifice in your opening monologue reminded me of a scene in the movie Nefarious, in which the demon says that abortion is child sacrifice, just renamed in order to facilitate it." Okay, wow. That's wow. All right, let's jump into this first Dipper. Let's change the subject here for a minute. I'm going to jump on some stuff. So Storm Tracker is what I'm calling it. But listen, let's talk about more than just the storm. I will say this, first of all, praise God. It appears that while there has been massive damage, and while we have at least 9 or 10, it depends on which news outlet you're looking at. CNN's reporting 9. I thought I saw 10 on Fox. But right now, let's say there's at least 9 known deaths, some of which were from tornadoes that were spawned by the hurricane system. But all said and done, Hurricane Milton, even by what Governor Ron DeSantis said this morning, he said that, in his own words, he said it was not the worst-case scenario that it could have been, but it was still catastrophic. There is still a massive amount of damage. Now, what we're looking at, though, is, I mean, let's don't minimize it. I'm not trying to do that. What we're looking at, though, is a state, the state of Florida, that, in my opinion, probably did more than I have ever seen done to prepare for and ready itself for a natural disaster. I mean, I don't know what else you could have asked for. In fact, I'm just going to go ahead and say this. I'm going to get it right out there. I put it on my social media this morning. I listened to Ron DeSantis. I was driving to a meeting in another county, and I was listening to Ron DeSantis do his morning press briefing the day after the event, right? That man had a grasp of topics. He was literally quoting statistics. I mean, you can tell that his folks had stayed up all night long tracking details and getting everything into some form of battle rhythm where they could report, like, in real time what was happening. He had the number of people out of power. He had the number of communities that had no roads. He had the number of deaths that had been, he had the number of rescue attempts that had been made. He had the number of active helicopters still in the air. He had, I mean, literally, he went down the line, chapter and verse, and I thought, my gosh, that's what's supposed to happen. I mean, there's things that will happen that you can't see. Like, you don't know when an earthquake's going to occur, right? But when you can see it coming, state of Florida showed you exactly how to handle it. I mean, they could, at this point, they should run the class. They should be the guest speaker at whatever FEMA conference comes up. Because what just happened in Florida has to be one of the most epic and above board and beyond reproach levels of coordination that I have ever seen, and the left is trying to tear it down. Why? He didn't talk to Kamala. Kamala called him on the phone, and he won't talk to Kamala, and that's just wrong. That's political. And the point being that Ron DeSantis made it very clear, why would Kamala call me? She's the vice president. I've been talking to her boss, the president. Even Joe Biden himself, probably much to Kamala Harris's consternation, said, yeah, I've talked to Ron. He's doing a great job down there. Go get him, kid. You know, it's almost been kind of funny to watch. But Ron DeSantis, here's the thing. I watched that, or I listened to it, actually, and then I saw a video clip of parts of it, that press conference, and some of the ones leading up to it. And here's what I'm going to say. He's not our presidential candidate. He's not. He's not the guy who made it to the primary. You know what, though? Ron DeSantis needs to be our next Secretary of Homeland Security. Think about it. Who do you, right now, if you looked around the nation, it's going to be an American, so if you look around the nation, who do you see out there that you would rather have taking care of you in the aftermath of an emergency right now than what we just saw in Florida? Who else would you rather have out there, by the way, who exerts that level of leadership and authority that you would rather have, I don't know, be DHS secretary, which means he's also in charge of Secret Service, which just allowed, you know, two near-death experiences on the president. Who else would you rather have in charge of Customs and Border Patrol? That's the DHS secretary. I'm just saying. You've got HHS in there. You've got, I mean, all the rest of them. If you got... You got places like HHS that is filled up with transgender wokeness. You've got Customs and Border Patrol, which is not being allowed to do its job to stem the tide of immigration. You've got FEMA. You've got all this stuff falls under DHS. I look at it and go, my God, if there's anybody in this nation right now I can think of that I want to be sitting in that seat, making those decisions, running that war room in an emergency, I want it right now. I'm just going to go and say it. I want Ron DeSantis to be the next DHS secretary. Quote me. At 2:41 p.m. on October the 10th, 2024, I said it. And I actually put it on my social media this morning. You can find it on @SinPhilWilliams, my Twitter feed, my X feed. In fact, you have an audio clip. Yeah, that one I just sent you the most recently. I'm going to call it audio. Let's go call it audio 4 because it's the fourth one I sent you for the day. But audio 4 is an audio clip. How long is that thing, by the way?
42 seconds.
It's 42 seconds. All right, let's listen to Ron DeSantis talking about how to handle the crisis. Go ahead.
My job is to manage this process and lead the state through this. I am using every lever at my disposal, including federal government resources. I've marshaled all the agencies in the state government, and we're working like never before to supplement our local communities. I've got to get the job done, and that's what I'm focused on. Now, people have asked me about, you know, is FEMA going to do this? Just let me be clear, in Florida, we run the show. FEMA's not running the show. We will utilize them to support some of the things we're doing, but you are not going to see FEMA running amok in Florida. I know that's been out there on the internet. That is not going to happen. I'm the sheriff that's in charge here, and we will make sure to protect you. Don't worry about it.
That's okay. So first of all, some folks may hear that and go, well, that's rather prideful and ostentatious. Who does he think he is? He thinks he's the governor of freaking Florida. How about that? I think he's walking in his authority. I think the man has just finished saying, I don't have time for your, I mean, listen, in a time of peace and calm and order, you can be more genteel. You can have a little bit more of a roundabout way of saying things. You can avoid people's feelings. But when you're in a crisis situation and bullets are flying, what do? You take charge and you get the job done. You take the high ground. And that's what he's doing. You about to say something?
And, you know, I feel bad for North Carolina because they're not a state that is prepped for hurricane relief. And so they kind of have to rely on FEMA. But, you know, if you're Ron DeSantis, you have the resources. And I'm most impressed that he boldly came out and said it publicly like that, that we're, you know, we're going to protect our state. We're going to provide for our people, and we're not going to rely on any federal incompetence. So I agree with you. He would be a great Homeland Security guy. But what are the odds that Trump puts him anywhere in the cabinet? Do we think that's likely or not?
I think there's a possibility. Mm-hmm. I think that they have. At the very least, they have publicly made amends.
What are the odds too that he leaves the governor to do that?
That's the thing. Is right now. He's got a great gig going. He doesn't have to go out there and run all the gates he has to run through in D.C., and I know that. And then, and let's be honest, Trump has a tendency to burn people after a while. If you're not you know, right where he wants you to be on everything, then you run the risk of, you know, losing some time and ground in your political career. Look, the bottom line is this. I just know watching that, watching the way Florida just handled itself. Listen to this. Here's some stats. You ready for this? He read some of these out during his press briefing. Literally getting things pre-positioned. I mean, this was not just a let's handle it after the fact. No, this was 1,200 search and rescue people deployed to Florida. 1,000 were already in the state from previous deployments. 6,000 members of the Florida National Guard were mobilized, joining 3,000 National Guard members that were contributed by other states. That's 9,000 National Guardsmen all over the state. The largest Florida National Guard search and rescue mobilization in the entire history of the state, DeSantis said. Also, the largest staging of utility workers and linemen in advance of the storm at any time in American history. That's like 20,000 linemen that were they're ready. They're putting power back on right now. They still have 3 million people out of power, but they had 20,000 linemen ready to go to work the next morning. 500 out-of-state law enforcement officers joined the in-state law enforcement. And I look at this and go, that's called putting things together and getting it ready. And that's just cool. Now, meanwhile, our current Department of Homeland Security Secretary, Alejandro Mayorkas, who I don't think could be the secretary for a small LLC in a little town. He actually was on camera today. I didn't get to see it. I only got to hear of it. Spent the vast majority of his time not talking about the relief effort, not talking about lives and things that his job is required to do. He spent most of his time whining about misinformation. Like he spent majority of his time just opining about the fact that people are saying mean things. It's not true, and it's not helpful, and we don't need this right now. And this, you look at it and go, look, dude, you know what? Swallow your pride. Quit feeling all butthurt because somebody said something mean about your people or you don't think that they're appreciative enough or whatever else, and go do your job anyway. Just go do your job.
Yeah, that I was going to say that may be a cue. Typically, when they focus so much on calling something misinformation, that may be a cue that it's not so much misinformation. Because if it was, then you just let it be. You know, there's no need to debunk it. But if they're actively trying to make it a point that it's misinformation, that may be a little cue there.
Yeah.
That it's not so much misinformation.
And it's apparently, by the way, it's apparently the talking point of the administration right now. Tell you what, we'll take a break. When we get back from this break, I'll tell you. So misinformation is the word of the day right now. Clear indication, like the JP said, that there's a concern that we're striking a nerve. And this, they got, well, stop it. It's misinformation. Stop it. Stop it right now. Well, I got news. It's not all misinformation. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Man, making common sense like a superpower. So I'm in number one of the Triple Dipper, just talking about some of the issues in and around and surrounding the hurricanes, the storm tracker, Hurricane Milton. And by the way, I will make a quick announcement. We do have some issues going on with our phones here. We know a couple of y'all have tried to call in. For some reason, we were getting feedback on our phone lines, so we're going to see if we can't reboot the phones here during the next break. But just be aware, if you want to text in, that's still coming through just fine. That's 833-687-4448. But misinformation, that's the word of the day. Apparently everything that they don't like to hear is misinformation. Well, you need to stop that misinformation. Why is it misinformation? Well, because we don't agree. That's not misinformation. That's called we don't agree. Now, if the people on the ground say that FEMA's doing a great job, great. If the people on the ground say they haven't seen FEMA in their neighborhood at all, they're allowed to say, I don't think FEMA's been in my neighborhood at all. I don't think FEMA's getting to our people. I don't think listen, they can say just the same thing about the Red Cross. They can say the same thing about Samaritan's Purse. They can say the same thing about anybody. But the fact that it's the government, it's the overly sensitive, hypersensitive Biden administration and the Harris campaign, they are all over this as misinformation. So that's exactly what you're hearing from Mayorkas. And the talking point comes from the very top. So yesterday, Joe Biden actually gave one of his Angry Joe moments at the microphone. He went and did a press conference. And in his strongest terms yet, says Politico. Phil, did you go to Politico? I did. In his strongest terms yet, said Joe Biden on Wednesday, he condemned what he called a, quote, reckless, irresponsible, relentless promotion of disinformation and outright lies. That's a lot of Scrabble words in one sentence. About the federal response to Hurricane Helene and now Milton. He named names, saying former President Donald Trump has led the onslaught of lies, spreading false information about FEMA. He said it's beyond ridiculous. It's got to stop. In moments like this, there's no red or blue states. There's one United States of America where neighbors are helping neighbors. That's great. Listen, somebody please inform the president that it was his own Secretary of Department of Homeland Security who said that they were out of money. It was his own DHS that put out that their number one priority was not getting everybody help, that it was getting equitable relief out and making sure that certain underserved demographics got first choice. FEMA Administrator Deanne Criswell, she's also been under fire a lot. She says, I do believe the volume of misinformation is starting to go down, but we need to continue to now remain focused on what our mission is. Well, that's the point. Stop worrying about whether you got a lot of likes on social media. Go get the job done. That's all we want. We pay tax dollars not so you could fuss because someone didn't agree with you publicly. We pay the tax dollars so that you'll go get your job done, knowing full well that from time immemorial, people will gripe. And some of it, oh, by the way, may be well-founded. So I'm just saying, stop with the misinformation, just ridiculousness, and just go get busy. Go get busy and prove them all wrong. Because right now, the greatest win for you, government, the greatest win for you, Mayorkas, the greatest win for you, FEMA, is to do your job in spectacular fashion. Rescue people, bring relief dollars, fix stuff, open roads, restore electricity, and people will go, thank you. Don't get those things done. Be slow to respond. Don't deploy the military for 5 or 6, 7 days and be weeks down the road talking about how mad you are because people are just not grateful enough. And guess what? People are going to complain some more. There's also a thing, by the way, I did find this fascinating somewhere in the mix of it. Have you heard of the Waffle House Index?
I have not.
The Waffle House Index. So I'm finding out more and more that there are some businesses that are almost ubiquitous, like they're everywhere. Like there ought to be a Dollar General index too, by the way, because they're everywhere. But like out in California, especially nationally speaking, U-Haul Trailers has what they call their U-Haul Movement Index. They can see how many states have had more outgoing trailers than incoming trailers. California had the biggest number of outgoing one-way U-Hauls, and so that and it directly corresponds with their loss of population. You could see it's people moving out. Well, Waffle House is the same way in a national emergency, because Waffle Houses are typically 24/7, right? Mm-hmm. 24/7, you can go there and get them scattered and smothered any time of the day or night. And so Waffle House started posting a map back in 2011, and every time there's a hurricane, they post the Waffle House Index, and it has on the map in red, yellow, and green where the Waffle Houses are, and you can see a swath of red across the overly damaged areas, and the red is usually a spot-on match to the major relief areas. Wow. So anyway, I thought it was fascinating. All said and done, hurricane, praise God for Florida having their act more together than anybody I've ever seen. Ron DeSantis, DHS Secretary, what say you? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, we will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. We by the way, we got tech issues over here in the Right Side studio, so if you're not hearing us right now, I apologize. But we've got AT&T fiber, we got digital phones, and we got all kinds of stuff happening. So we are in the wake of a reboot right now, and it appears that we're online. So you think we're online? I think we're online. All right, good deal.
We're streaming.
That's wonderful. I like it. Okay, listen, we're going to take some text messages, get kind of caught up on that, because you guys are some texting machines right now. Chip from Muscle Shoals says, Phil, I think this is real, all caps. I'm working on verification. Says FEMA has sent pallets of electric chainsaws to East Tennessee and West North Carolina. That can't be real. Surely nobody does that. Electric chainsaws. If they're sending electric chainsaws to places where there is no power, then we are at next level goofy. So all said and done, you have to question some things, right? And you have to be allowed to question without it being just labeled as misinformation. Chip from Muscle Shoals, if you find out that by golly they are sending electric chainsaws, I want to know it. I want proof of life on that one. Robert from Huntsville says, if it's anywhere near the truth, the left will call it misinformation. There you have it. Donovan Coleman says the shortage of toilet paper is said to also be due to the overuse by our treasury. That's not funny. Dave from Madison says most of the things the left and the government call misinformation during COVID have been proven true. Nothing has changed, just a different issue. You know, we ought to, that brings up a point. We ought to have a conspiracy theory tracker. If we can do a Waffle House tracker, a U-Haul tracker, we need a conspiracy theory tracker, because I guarantee you, you're going to find a bunch of things that were called misinformation that have now suddenly proven themselves to be true. So, wow. All right, JT Lacey Springs checked in again. He says, Florida and California relief efforts. This, in my opinion, is a superb reason not to be EV dependent. No kidding. In fact, here's something else I haven't seen yet, but I cannot help but wonder how things have gone for the EV owners trying to, you know, evacuate in all those hours and hours of backlogged roads trying to get out of Florida. So there's that. A brand new texter in the line. We're glad you're here. Tim from Decatur says, if everything being said about the Biden administration's response to hurricanes is misinformation, then they should prove us wrong. Get up and do something. I agree. And really, you know what, though, Tim? That's all they should be doing. They can go ahead and say, that's not true. Bam, move forward. That's not true. Bam, move forward. But instead, they just whine about it a lot. Sam from Anderson, Alabama just texted in, and he says, my mom lives in Fort Myers, Florida, where I grew up. Last night, she was praising and thankful for DeSantis and how great a job he has handled the preparation for this hurricane. She was reminding me back in 2004 when Florida got hit by 4 hurricanes that Florida was not prepared and took almost a month for us to get power back on and how unorganized it was. Wow. I mean, leadership matters. And thanks, Sam, by the way. I hope your mom's well, and thanks for letting us know. I'm assuming if you talk to her, that means she's probably okay. But anyway, glad to hear it. Glad you're here in touch with her. John from Huntsville says, Phil, I think you skipped my first text. So here it is again. Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. He says, Phil, spectacular monologue, and your comments were 100% accurate. Also, did you hear that Ethel Kennedy passed away, the widow of Senator Robert? I did. Thank you, John. I appreciate you, man. Let me get a call real quick before I run out of time. By the way, the phones appear to be working again. Whoop, whoop. I don't want to brag or anything, but I pushed a button and something happened, and that never works. So, JP, you're watching a spectacular day right now. I need to go buy a lottery ticket or something. No, I didn't say that. I'm sorry. Jeffro from Indiana is on the line. Jeffro, how you doing, man?
Sounds like it's working pretty good to me.
Yay. I'm glad of it. Sounds like you're working pretty
working
good,
better.
Too.
Well, not too good. I've had a bad cold since last night, so thank goodness this is my last run for this week.
Well, good enough. Where are you right now? Are you on the way back or are you on the way down?
I'm at that 24-mile marker in Tennessee on I-65.
Oh, well, you know exactly. You probably got every bump and pothole memorized.
Every dang one of them. I know more about than what the what the street road department does.
Well, what's on your mind, man? What do you think about us? Should Ron DeSantis be the next Department of Homeland Security Secretary?
Oh, yeah, he'd be great in that role. But there was something last night that, Phil, what is the number one goal of the Biden-Harris administration that they took over in day one?
Other than
letting all the illegals in,
I think the number one goal for them is to get reelected.
Well, I mean the number one thing is they want to do is climate change.
Oh yeah.
Well, yesterday Marjorie Taylor Greene was sitting there telling Biden that I guess they're steering the storms and everything, and Biden let the truth out. He says, well, that's crazy. The government can't control the weather. So what are we doing? We spend trillions of dollars trying to control the weather. It's a little bit they just don't have no self-awareness, saying, well, we can't control the weather. Government can't control the weather. Well, that's exactly what they've been trying to do.
Yeah, at the very least, they're trying to convince us to do certain things because they say they can. I think it's just one of their behavior modification tools as much as anything. But
that's all it is. I think you need to play that on a loop sometime. Anytime they mention global warming stuff, you need to have Biden on a loop there saying, well, that's crazy. The government can't control the weather.
That's a good clip. I need to find that one. All right, man, listen, yeah. Get you a cough drop, brother. We go get you some rest for a few days. I hope you make it back without too much trouble.
Yeah, I've got a whole bag of them. I'm getting ready to take one right now.
All right.
A good one.
All right, see you, buddy. Wow. There's not many things that are worse than having to go to work when you feel cruddy. So blessings on you, Jeffro. Real quick, Lou Ann from Huntsville says, what does it say? Something phone call. Kamala Harris sounds like a jilted prom date. Complete tantrum and pouting. Chiho from Rainbow City checked in and says, DeSantis for president. It's too late for that, Chiho. But right now, I'll take DHS secretary. Butch from Athens says, my favorite Bible is the American Patriots Bible. Okay. Mine's a New King James. Okay. Has many inserts of quotes, major addresses, etc., from the many people that began and led this nation, beginning from the Mayflower Compact up to the current years. Merges our nation to the values, ethics, and morals as present in God's Word, black, white, yellow, every person involved in American history and their comments, including even an input from Obama. God bless us. We're facing a critical point in our nation. Choose well. November 5th, Grasshopper. Thank you. Thank you, Butch. Appreciate you, man. Real quick, I'll take one more call for the break. I got about a minute and a half. James from St. Clair, how you doing, man?
Hey, man, I did not catch the full first hour, but I love what you're talking about at the end there when it comes to, religion versus relationship and salvation versus lordship. Hey, I can tell you after doing street ministry in Birmingham for about 8 years, there's a big difference between preaching the Calvary gospel First Corinthians, 15 verses 1 through 11, and preaching the gospel that Jesus actually preached, which is the kingdom of heaven message. And, when people get that, when they begin to understand, like, oh, how about that? I'm a citizen here. I'm one that's born again. I have obligations here in this kingdom. The word of the king is law. It starts to make sense. It starts to motivate people a little bit more carefully. It's a powerful understanding to grasp that, and I think there's just like a lot of people who goes over their head. But we got to be citizens of the kingdom, not just people who are saved and going about our own lives that we're supposed to be laying down for a cause.
That's a good word, man. Appreciate you. I know you tried to get through earlier too. I'm glad you finally made it through. And so thanks, James. Appreciate it. And by the way, thanks for your work on the streets of Birmingham. Have a great day, man.
Praise the Lord.
All right. Take care, buddy. See ya. John from Huntsville says, I hope Jeff's not sick because he ate too many pickled eggs. I don't know if you've been here for that, but Jeff,
is that a thing?
Jeff has some dietary habits on the road. He knows where all the best fried fish and pickled eggs are.
Eesh.
He's been known to travel with a jar full of pickled eggs.
Ugh.
And I'm just thinking
it's going to make me sick just here.
I'm just thinking there's probably not a lot of people that want to ride in the truck with him. Just saying. Red from Tony, Alabama said, did you see that Karine Jean-Pierre said the way you're asking the question is misinformation? I did see that. She didn't like Peter Ducey. By the way, I saw somebody else say, who should be press secretary for the Trump administration? And somebody else said, Peter Ducey. And I thought, that might actually be really good. That might actually be really good. I think when I do the Butters and Lee, I think I'm going to ask them who they think ought to fill cabinet positions. This could be fun stuff. Dave from Madison says, we are back on now. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Brian from Huntsville says, push a button on a wife. Something always happens. I'm glad. Said I'm glad it had a positive effect on radio equipment. Yeah, me too. Especially since I'm not the guy in here who makes the tech work. I just went back there and found a button that looked friendly, and I pushed it, and lo and behold, we were back on. All right, you guys, listen, we're taking a quick break. I'm going to come right back, and I'm going to wrap up the section of the Storm Tracker. We have some actual information about things on the ground that I think are worth noting. And so you guys stay tuned. Right Side Radio will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, pulling pins on truth grenades. That's what I'm saying. So right now, the count has climbed. I will say this. 12 people dead. It's known right now, apparently. Being reported by CNN. 3 million without power as Hurricane Milton has spun out into the Atlantic now. And it crossed, I mean, literally in one night, it crossed over the entire Florida Peninsula and out into the Atlantic. And has already, has maintained hurricane strength. It's still a Cat 1 hurricane, even after crossing over land. So that was a no-fooling big one. They're saying, by the way, this was a not a 100-year storm. This was a 500-year storm. I saw that in one of my resources here. Let me find that real quick. No, I'm sorry, one of the 100-year. It was not a 50-year storm, which is what some of the other ones they call it. They were saying it was a one in a 100-year event. The level of carnage they were expecting, though, I mean, they were really concerned that it was going to hit smack into major metropolitan areas with storm surge. There were a number of things that happened that I won't say were mystifying. I mean, you know how you see like Tampa Bay literally got sucked out. And what that also meant, though, was a storm surge didn't come back in as hard. Sometimes when it gets sucked out like that, that means there's a tidal wave or something like that, or tsunami type thing coming, the tidal surge following it. But it didn't follow to the extent they were afraid that it would, probably because it sucked out so fast that it had to refill first, and that meant that it didn't surge over the barriers into the shoreline. And then you've got, on top of that, you've got the fact that the state of Florida was so well prepared. There's a story right now that just came out on Fox. It's one of those human interest stories that I just think is worth telling. So Hurricane Helene, let's not forget the people of the Carolinas, parts of Georgia, even parts of Florida, are still recovering in a big way, especially North Carolina and even East Tennessee. But there's a story that came from, where's she from? She's from Georgia, I know that. She's a little town called Nashville, Georgia. A lady named Cindy Cole, she's a 62-year-old grandmother. She was laying in her bed during the night when Hurricane Helene was crossing over. And as the story goes, and I'll paraphrase it for you, she says she was sound asleep in her bed when she heard a voice tell her, "You need to get up and go to another room in the house." She's by herself. So she woke up, and then the power went out. And she knew the power had gone out because you can hear systems shutting down in the house. And she heard the voice again, "Get up, go to another room in the house." She heard it three times. And she finally realized, I guess I'd better get up and go to another room in the house. So she did. She got up and immediately vacated. And within minutes of her getting out of her bed and getting out of that room, a major tree fell through and crushed the entire bedroom that she'd been sleeping in. I'm looking at pictures of it right now. And she says that she got up, she exited the room. Within minutes, a large tree from her neighbor's yard crashed into the bedroom and landed right on her bed. The bedroom is destroyed. It's gone. The interesting piece is, and I'm looking at pictures of this too, she has a Bible that she keeps on an easel on top of her dresser, and it's open. Like the Bible is open on an easel to a passage that she's either reading or she just likes anyway, but it's sitting there open. And everything in the room is destroyed, but that Bible is still sitting on the easel, unmoved. She just says, "I think it was the Lord telling me to move to another room." You think? I'm pretty sure it's exactly what happened. But she says that with regards to the Bible, she says, "I first saw the Bible, I was like, oh, look, I can't believe it's still standing." And then she said, "But you can't touch the word of the Lord. You just cannot touch it." Anyway, cool stories. I can't tell you how many things I remember coming out of like the 2011 tornadoes where people would find things. And JP, long before you were born, you know, we had the massive tornado on Airport Road in Huntsville. That would have been, that was the late 80s, I think, wasn't it? Mm-hmm.
And I've heard many stories about that from my dad, who the tornado actually took out his office on Airport Road.
Oh, that's right.
Airport Road.
I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah. So although it was much before I was alive, I've heard much about it.
There's there were cars like you know, up there where our family all lived, up there on Tannehill and all that area. And there were cars up in the hill that came from Airport Road. I mean, I know some of y'all, there were stories about people who had, you know, near-death experiences, or they would duck down in their car, and when they sat back up, everything was gone. Julie Ruff from Marshall County says it was 1989. Yes, I believe that is correct. You are correct. Marie from Madison says prayer is powerful, and I know many people, including me, who are interceding for the wonderful folks in Florida. Yes, indeed. And that's... Listen, I believe that, man. Look, I've been some places, seen some things, and there's stuff I couldn't explain. And there were times when people told me later on they were praying, and I just know that the timing was perfect. And listen, God intervenes in a big way. God also honors stewardship. I'm sure that there were things that maybe DeSantis and his team wish they could have done differently. But for the most part, what we saw, I think, was good stewardship. I think we saw leadership and stewardship. We saw We saw leaders who are willing to take the risk, do the things, ruffle the feathers, say the words that needed to be said, lead, guide, and direct, and then, oh, by the way, at the same time, make use of their available assets, which is stewardship, in a manner that is befitting for the moment. And that's, we'll never know, thank goodness, we'll never know what could have happened had they not been prepared. And it was a lesson. Let us take it to heart. David from Hoax Bluff says, turnip greens are ready if you want some. You know I don't. All right, you guys, listen, y'all stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I'm talking about this one. Don't argue with me. It's this one. It's Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. All right. It is Thursday. It is Turbo Thursday. We are the one day before the last day of the week before you get to the weekend, and that means at 3:30 on a Thursday, we do this thing we like to call Butters and Lee, where we bring in some friends who do things that make this show perfect. I mean, they do the stuff behind the scenes that just makes stuff work. And let me just call the roll. The guru of technology and online streaming stuff, synchronization, optimizations, and all the Asian words, Butters, are you there?
I am. I think I'm flattered.
can you put all that on a business card? I don't know if you can. All right. And Lee from Huntsville, who is known to filibuster, but always with the best words you can use in Scrabble. Lee from Huntsville, are you there?
I am.
Apparently, I'm just feeling very saucy today. So I'm going to go ahead say it's time for a round of Butters and Lee. All right, my friends, you know the deal. I ask you all questions, and you just see what kind of answers you got, and then we flip the script later. You ask me questions. So here's my first question for you. I got kind of a mindset earlier in the show about a cabinet pick for Trump, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to go with this. So let's say that Trump's elected, and we've got the Trump and Vance administration coming on, and they've got to fill out the cabinet. What's your dream team? And I'm going to name the positions that I want to hear about. Who would you want to see appointed to be Secretary of Defense, Department of Homeland Security Secretary, Attorney General, Secretary of State, and then Health and Human Services? Who would you want to see in these major cabinet-level positions? Lee, you first.
Well, First, maybe SecDef. You know, I don't know. Maybe Christopher Miller. He had worked with the Pentagon under Trump. He was a popular one.
Wow.
That's
a deep cut right there.
Huh?
That's a deep cut right there. I didn't think about him.
Yeah. I think for Attorney General, I like Ken Paxton out of Texas. I really like him. And he's been through the ringer legally as their AG, so, I think he'd be a good one. Let's see. DHS, you talking about Homeland Security? I'd love to see General Flynn.
Wouldn't that be a hoot? He deserves a second chance, too, by the way.
I think so. I think he's been, he was just, I don't know how to put it, just screwed so bad, by the Democrats and attacking him on day one. And I just don't think Trump understood enough to stand behind him, which he should have. If you've seen Flynn's movie, it just makes you angry by the end of it. You're just angry at about how he and his family, he's a really upstanding guy who did nothing but serve his country, and he got, trampled.
Yeah, he got hosed. He sure did.
Yeah, he really did. I don't know about Secretary of State. There's just so many people that could do that. I don't even know who to choose. I would love to see him possibly in some role bring in a former Democrat, maybe an independent, maybe like a Tulsi Gabbard type person. I don't know if that's the right role, but I'd like to see him do that. You didn't ask, but his press secretary, I don't know. There's so many good ones. But maybe Peter Ducey is so good at harassing the current.
I said that earlier in the show. I did. Yeah. I said the same thing. Yeah. Peter Ducey would be, you know what? The press corps would be like, oh, crap.
Vivek would be pretty good, I think.
Okay, let's switch over to you, Butters.
He'd be wasted there.
All right, so Butters, SecDef, DHS, AG, Secretary of State, HHS, who would you want?
I got a real cop out answer. It's honest.
Okay.
I've got no idea on names, but I'd say in general, I'd really love to see some people we've never heard of. Never heard of. At least not on the common scene of politics and the same old names cycled over and over. I'd love to see some new blood. Obviously that's assuming that Trump's folks are doing all the due diligence and all that kind of stuff. But, there's a ton of great names that will come out, but quite honestly, we need some fresh blood, new people that aren't looking for favors.
I'm not letting you off that easy, man. You got to have at least one name for one position. Come on.
I'm definitely excited to see what might happen with RFK. Vivek, you know, getting in there, and the press secretary would be a waste. Dave Chappelle would be pretty awesome as a press secretary.
Dave Chappelle as press secretary, that would be amazing. That would also be I would tune in every day for that.
Do you know how many people would consume the press reports? I mean, I think Vivek getting in, you know, there's definitely some cool names jumping in there. We'll see what actually happens with Elon Musk. But I don't know. It's just so I'm just so skeptical of so many of these. I mean, even you talking about, you know, for SecDef, you know, some of the generals of late, retired, like I kind of want to go back to 90s era generals. If that's the road we're going to go. But I'm just so skeptical of so many names that have been around for so long. Cause
all right, so let me, before we run out of time, let me throw out a few names. Here's ones that I like. All right, SecDef. I like Senator Tom Cotton. I think Tom Cotton would make a great SecDef. He's also a veteran, Army Airborne Ranger qualified. I think he got out as a captain. DHS secretary, I'm all in for DeSantis. I want DeSantis to be in charge of every disaster we ever have. He's in charge of FEMA, Secret Service, Treasury, all of it. I think DeSantis would be a great DHS. Attorney General, let me throw this at you. How interesting would it be, I mean, aside from the fact that I like Alabama's Steve Marshall, but how interesting would it be to see RFK, just like his dad was the AG, to become the next AG? I think
he needs to do Health and Human Services.
Well, that I've got him down for that too. I've got it scratched right here on my list in my ineligible handwriting. It says RFK for HHS also.
Why not do both?
Heck, you know what? At least he won't wear a dress to work like the one we have in there right now. And then Secretary of State, I put Vivek. I think Vivek could do it.
Yeah.
All right. So let me throw you a curveball. Is there anybody he should keep from the current Biden administration? Anybody Trump should keep? They're like, he's doing a good job. Why get rid of him? Anybody?
No.
Anybody at
all? No. Clean sweep.
Clean sweep. And a no from both, and I agree. I say clean house, and oh, by the way, subordinates too. Bureaucrats, all of them. Move them out where they can't do harm.
He needs to take out the top of the FBI, the CIA, all the alphabet agencies, clean house, take his arm and sweep them off the table. The top level of all of that has to go.
I agree. But not only that, I think some of the rank and file needs to move too. And if there is some way tenured or you know, sanctuaried from being, then put them in a position where they can do no harm. They don't have to stay in the same desk. Take them and move them, and let's get some of the, go back to, you know, the fresh blood thing that Butters is talking about.
The focus really needs to be on rebuilding some trust.
Yes, it does.
With the huge middle section of America that has completely lost trust, and I guess that's why I say a bunch of names we don't know might be better.
I'm gonna put one more word. I think it's trust and efficiency. I think the government has become bloated and inefficient, and I think the government has also, oh by the way, lost trust. So yes, I agree absolutely on trust. But I think you've got to build some efficiencies also back into government and make it actually run like a business.
That's where Elon comes in.
There you go. All right, let me switch gears here. I'm only going to have about 2 or 3 minutes on this one with you, so I'm just going to go ahead and sling it out there. It's a total change of subject. The transgender movement about minors. All right, I'm not talking about adults. I'm just talking about minors. Should Congress pass a nationwide ban on transgender treatments and surgeries on minors? Should there be a nationwide ban on that? I'm going with Butters first. Because I know that Lee will filibuster.
I wish they didn't have to. And I wish that the doctors would police themselves.
Yeah.
It's really appalling that the medical community, of course I'm not a doctor, so what do I know? But I'm pretty sure that's not a good thing. Mm. So if they're not going to do that, then yeah, pass the bill, pass a law.
Pass a nationwide ban on transgender transitions on minors. All right, Lee, what say you?
Yes, of course. As many European countries have done, we need to ban it outright. And it's not just the doctors better, it's more the hospital systems that are making a lot of money. I just read an article where they've made $120 million off these surgeries.
Yep.
And hormones and everything else over the last 3 years. So it's just as much them pushing it as
a very, very, very small amount of doctors.
All right, so let me ask you this, just real quickly, knowing that we're this is a republic, all right? This is and federalism is a thing. Does it matter to you to have the federal government come in and preempt an opportunity for states to have a say in this? Does it matter? Oh,
no,
listen to the wheels turning.
I think there are some things that are appropriate at a federal. I mean, and again, it's a shame that that's even a discussion. Why would states not have already taken care of that?
Lee, what say you?
No, these are children. We have federal laws to protect children already on the books. Are you saying we should go back and everybody should choose drinking age, smoking age, everything else all over again? No. We have laws to protect minors on the books for a reason.
All right. I'm with you both and your dog, too, who agreed. All right, it's all good. All right, round one, Butters and Lee. We're going to go ahead and take a break. That went fast. All right, so we have now picked out the dream teams. At least the selection criteria has been established, and we've also decided that we're okay with a national law that protects kids from transgender treatments. And we're going to be right back. We flip the script. They ask me questions, and I just wait with bated breath to see what they got. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, pulling pins on truth grenades. Okay, I'm going right back to round two of Butters and Lee. This is the part where we flip the script, and I just see what kind of questions they have for me and hope I have an actual answer. So, Lee, you first. What do you got for me?
I'm sorry about my dog. He got excited over a squirrel.
No, I don't mind a bit. Are you kidding? Go ahead.
So I want your best opinion on polls. We're getting so inundated with polls.
Yeah.
But Trump has always seemed to defy polls somewhat. And even in 2016, running against Hillary, he was down in the polls when he won.
Yeah.
And even with Joe Biden, when he ran against him, Joe Biden was predicted up, but it was very much more narrowed. Considering he's running ahead and he's traditionally down in the polls, does that make you feel more positive, or do you feel like that polls just don't apply to him?
To Trump? No, I think polls do apply, but I also think this. The interesting thing is I think that that Trump notoriously, and I say notoriously, but traditionally, under polls. And a part of that is because there are people on the Trump side who are more skeptical of the pollsters who call them, and so they don't answer the questions, and that's been a proven fact. And then there's also just the fact that there are people out there that they're going to vote for Trump, but they don't want to talk about it because they don't want to have to deal with their coworkers and their friends and people in more liberal venues that would go like, you're going to do what, you know, and get onto them about it. And so I think that Trump traditionally under polls. That's why he didn't he win Michigan in 2016? I think he did. And then he lost it, I believe, in 2020. But he under polls. And right now, though, here's the other piece of the polling. Kamala has spent $1 billion, close to $1 billion, and yet she can't break away from a dead heat tie. That's the other poll. That's the other metric you have to look at, is if she's spending more money than Solomon ever had in his temple and can't break out of a tie, what does that say about her capacity for a last-minute surge? And I think that she is showing evidencing of plateauing. So, anyway, there's that.
More less than plateauing. She's going downhill. She's not likable, and I think it shows being non-likable is bigger than any poll.
Yeah, and not only that, but she's non-likable. She also doesn't inspire confidence. I mean, she'll do puff piece interviews, and then when she does a real interview or has a moment where you think, okay, rise to it, she'll say something gobbledygooky that you look at and go, that was just not worth the camera time. Anyway, all right, there you go.
I definitely think there's a huge factor of people that are really going to vote for Trump are far less likely to engage with anybody doing polls.
I think so. So, yeah. All right, Butterman, what question you got for me?
So I'm dead serious with this question.
Uh-oh.
So we've gone through the threat of shutting down all the ports and discussing preparedness for that. We're seeing disaster relief and preparedness for that, and we're weeks away from this election. And you know, not to put tinfoil hats on or to go too full on prepper or anything, but I'm just curious what your thoughts are on you know what do we reasonably need to be thinking about as we've got a few weeks before this election and no matter which way it goes, what might we see?
Are you thinking about asking me about civil unrest, or are you asking about personal preparedness? What are you asking?
Yeah, I mean civil unrest. I'm thinking about things like supply chain interruption. Mm-hmm. Depending on some of the cities, it just seems like we're going to have something. You know, it's 2024. It doesn't seem like we can have much of – we can't even have a sunny day without having some chaos going on.
Well, I will say this. I on the show a couple of weeks ago – how long have I got? About 3 minutes? On the show a couple – 2 minutes ago, I said that – and Butters, I think you might have been in studio with me that day – that I think we all need to be both prayerful and practical. Prayerful in that you're praying constantly, but that also creates a sense of awareness. That creates a head on a swivel kind of moment where you're praying about it, which means you're also focusing. And then the practical piece is take necessary steps. I do think there's a possibility for some disruption, especially with the port was a big deal. If the ports had struck, then I was telling people you need to have your prescriptions, you know, refilled before the strike happens. You need to have essentials. You need to have dry goods. You need to have non-perishables. You need to have your communications plan with your family so that if you don't live next to each other, you know where to meet if you can't communicate by cell phone or otherwise. And so I think all those prayerful and practical steps are still real. Now, do I think something's going to happen? Well, first of all, I'm prayerful that it won't. I do believe that there will be an outcry no matter which side wins. I don't think that we're going to see the right rioting in the streets. I don't. I do think that we will see the left in some of the major urban areas potentially acting out. But then the other piece that we have to really watch right now is we know we just had one Afghan who was arrested, who was here on the parole visa program. Who had planned an election day terrorist attack. And they caught him, and thank goodness they did. But we don't know who else is out there. So my main concern right now is less about weather, less about port strikes. My main concern in terms of civil unrest is even more so than people being disgruntled, is about some bad actor taking advantage of our flooded open borders and having an incident that we all need to watch out for. There you go. I unloaded. Get your question good?
That was a good answer.
All right, man. Butters and Lee, love you both. Thank you so much for what you do. We'll have you back on next week. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, coming up on hour number 3. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number 3 on a Turbo Thursday. And, you know, as we have done the last several days, we're about to check in with somebody. You may recall we got a group of guys, all Navy veterans, all class of 83 from the Naval Academy, friends for years who have gotten together, 17 of them in the original group, and they got together and decided they're going to do the Bamarama 500. They are biking across Alabama 500 miles to raise money and awareness for veterans issues. And I love this. And so Lieutenant Commander James Sherrard has been on the phone with us pretty much every day around this time to give us an update on their progress. And I got to eat dinner with them the other night when they were traveling through the Gadsden area. But he's on the line right now. Lieutenant Commander James Sherrard, how you doing?
Hey, Phil. We're on a water break now, 10 miles north of Crestview on Highway 90, if anybody wants to drive by and say hi. we're going to leave as soon as I get off. Everybody's waiting for me. I just completed the longest bike ride of my life at 95 miles, and we've got 10 more to go.
Wow.
And so I'll go over 100. That's a century for bikers. A century is the 100-mile ride. And, it's been a good day. Everybody said when you do a bike ride this long that you finally reach a point where, you know, you just kind of get in the groove. And I think everybody's feeling pretty good today.
Good deal. How's the terrain been today? Y'all are fairly level terrain now, aren't you?
Well, yeah, let's say kind of forgiving. The good news, we still had 3,300 miles of climb, but the good news was we had 5,500 miles of descent. I mean, I said miles again, feet. 3,300 feet of climb,
right?
5,500 feet of descent. And for the rocket scientists out there, I'm carrying a little more mass than most of the riders, so this has kind of favored me because I got a little more potential energy coming down the hills than the rest of the riders.
Well, tomorrow's the go-home day, so you got it all the way to the finish line tomorrow. What's your leg look like tomorrow?
It's about, well, it's 83 miles, coincidentally, for the class of 83. So we are close enough that that's what we're calling it, 83 miles.
Outstanding. Well,
and it's a lot like today. We're heading almost due west out of Crestview, a little bit southwest, and not a lot of hills. So should be good. And for a lot of us aviators, we're riding through Pensacola, which is the cradle of naval aviation. So, yeah. You know, we've all been there and spent months there training.
Well, good on you, man. And listen, we've been so impressed with the way you guys have been doing this. And is everybody holding up okay?
They are. Yeah, like everybody's feeling pretty good today. We have, the other thing is with that hurricane coming through, just we've had a tailwind, about 10 to 15 knot tailwind all day long, which
well,
is great.
Tailwind yeah. beats a headwind every day, right?
Exactly.
Well, all right, brother. Well, listen, we look forward to hearing the good news tomorrow that you've made your final destination on the final 83 miles with the class of 83 from the Naval Academy. And thank you for what you're doing.
Thanks, Phil. And if you want to hear what we're doing or check out our pictures and all kinds of stuff, go to navy-cycling.com. And even if you feel like inclined to donate to one of the charities, just go to the support us page, and you can pick a charity and a rider and then donate to it.
Outstanding.
Thanks so much.
All right, brother. Take care.
Bye.
I'm loving this. And by the way, he didn't say it this time, but he was not looking forward to today at first. He texted me at 6:30 this morning, and he said, "The only way I'm getting on that bike today is because I know that I have to go on your show and tell you that I got on the bike today." But you know what, though? Listen, class of 83, picture it. These guys with their careers in the military and everything else, but these guys are in their early 60s. And they are darn near close to finishing a 500-mile bike ride, which, by the way, was through some brutal terrain. I mean, he may have had some elevation today, but not like he had, what, on Tuesday, I think it was, when they had to go through the Cheeha area over in north, east central Alabama, Talladega National Forest. I don't know if they knew when they were doing that route plan that was the highest point in the entire state, but they found out. They found out. All right.
I do not envy them for doing that.
No.
You know, steep bike rides is not on my list of favorite exercises to do.
No. Especially when you're doing it for almost an entire week. All right. Well, good on them. And if you want to support them, yeah, you can find them at navy-cycle. I think that's right. I got that right. navy-cycling.com. Let me get some text messages here before we hit the break, and then I'm going to come back and hit the Nick's Dipper Trans Agenda. I got some news that's going to curl your hair, make you mad, hopefully bring some of you to action. But let me get these texts first. Jay from Hartzell, with regards to the Kamala Harris discussion we had earlier, gobbledygook, he says, it's the rebuttal to anything that Kamala Harris says. Jay, that is exactly what it is. It is a rebuttal to anything she says because most of what she says is gobbledygook. David from Huntsville says, before Biden immediately corrected himself, his answer to a reporter was, there will be riots if Trump wins. If Trump wins, that means the left is rioting. That's what he's saying. David from Hoax Bluff, Phil wins today. Hoax. Thanks. Appreciate it, David. We got a new texter in the line, Keith from Elkmont. Keith from Elkmont's brand spanking new. Says, sir, transgender legislation is the same as abortion legislation. Federal should not usurp the states. You know, and I that's why I asked the question, Keith. I'm not opposed to that, except that I look at it and go, hang on a second. Why do we sit back and go, well, you know, it's a states' rights issue when there are children being brutalized? If we believe they're being brutalized, do we sit still and go, well, good luck, y'all? I mean, I get that the law progressed to where it is, to where we had Roe v. Wade, which made a national position or national law, if you will, on abortion, and that's now been devolved to the states after, you know, Roe was overturned. But I also look at this and go,
It's kids. And perhaps it's time. Bruce from Springville says, in regard to doctors performing transgender surgeries, they're already violating the Hippocratic Oath by violating the statement of doing no harm. I would agree with that.
Can I say this too? Yeah. I personally believe there's enough to make a national abortion ban, but I'm a little bit more understanding making it a state's issue. But on, you know, transgender surgeries for minors, is there a need to make it a state issue if a 8-year-old can get a tattoo, if an 8-year-old can drink, if an 8-year-old can do all these adult decision things? Why does it have to be a state issue for a kid to have a surgery on their body to change their gender? I don't understand. Like,
yeah,
if a kid's not able to get a tattoo or do anything that adults are allowed to do, but oh, we're gonna make it to where they can change their own gender if they like, and that should be a state's issue. It doesn't. Some things like that, I think it's pretty self-explanatory. There should be national bans on it.
And here's the other thing of that, that's a great input, by the way. Here's another piece of that puzzle is the fact that we don't have any federal preemption right now. We have a patchwork quilt of everybody's doing what everybody wants to do. There's been no continuity. There's been, in the case of abortion right now, it has been officially, legally devolved to the states. In order to change it, you'd have to remove it from the states. You'd have to preempt what is already in place as a ruling that says it's a state's rights issue now. Now, that being said, I get it. I'm a federalist. I get it. But I also believe there's times when you have to look at things and say, there's a national issue here, and it's a national shame if we allow things to go on the way they did. I mean, we did it for slavery, right? We did it for the age to join the military. We did it for the vote. There are times when the federal preemption for the purpose of order, discipline, safety, sanctity, and for that matter, congruity. In other words, you have a comedy. You have something going on that is the same across the borders. It can be necessary. That was an entire segment of wow. Brian from Bluntsville says Judge Jeanine Pirro ought to be AG. Wow. I don't know. It turned into a reality show then. Brandon from Union Grove says, yes, make a law outlawing trans for minors. There you go. Bob from Madison says, here's a funny, Kamala for AG. No, absolutely not. Can't go with it. Not even funny. Spence from Harvest is brand new in the – or is he brand new? No, he's not. He says, I'm not sure if he's at a level to handle DHS, but I'm going to say that Dale Strong would be awesome running FEMA. Okay. He said he kicked it in the butt after the April 27th tornadoes tore North Alabama, a new one, and that was when he was just a county commissioner, not a congressman. Said, I saw that young man hop off a tractor on a field down for a FEMA helicopter. Dale hops out, goes to the helicopter, gives the D.C. weenies a 30-minute tour, and then tells them we have it handled, which they did. Now, kindly get on your helicopter and get off my dang lawn. It went back to work. That's interesting. Okay. I appreciate the perspective. A couple more, and then we'll go to the break. Brian from Huntsville says, AG Ted Cruz, Supreme Court opening, Jeff Sessions or Ted Cruz, SecDef, anyone that believes in our Constitution and not wokeness, Tom Cotton, although Ollie North would finish frying the brains of most Dems. Ollie North would be hilarious. I like all those names, by the way. Ed P. from Huntsville says Greg Gutfeld for press secretary. Oh, my gosh. That would be a hoot. Dave from Madison says Scott Jennings on CNN would also make a great press secretary for Trump, although my wife wants Ramaswamy as the press secretary. I think your wife's got it going on there, Dave. And then John from Huntsville says, back on that tornado we talked about earlier, that tornado on Airport Road happened a couple months before I was born, he says. Well, then I know how old you are. Alex from Huntsville says, please don't conflate trans care with surgical transitioning. Why? Says the percent for the latter is very small. The former helps with dysphoria and is shown to reduce suicides. No, here's the thing. Alex, I'm not going to go down that road. And I say, you're getting into my next dipper, but I'll say this. I am not of the mind that we should join in the dysphoria. That trans care, as you called it in your text, is not about affirming what they want to be. It should be more along the lines of affirming how God made them to be. If we spent more time telling a kid that they were perfect the way God made them because they were the best them that God could have made, then I think you're more likely to do affirming. The idea that you're calling it gender-affirming care when what you're really doing is telling them that they're wrong and therefore they need to get fixed – Well, that's not gender affirming. That's gender non-confirming. That is literally saying you're a broken child, but here we'll fix you. And that's entirely, I don't believe that's care. That's buying into the problem and making it worse.
Also, yet. Let's take a look at the stats of not even just teenagers, but adults who change their gender and then realize years later, oh, I made a mistake. That's irreversible now.
It is irreversible.
And the stats on that are staggering too. So, you know, if adults want to make up their own mind, I guess, you know, they can do that. But forcing kids to, oh, my 8-year-old thinks he's a girl, then we should surgically make him a girl I feel like it's a no-doubter that should be banned nationwide.
Even the medical, the non-surgical versions, you wind up sterilizing a child for life with puberty blockers. And you wind up changing the transition. I mean, changing the composition of their body chemistry in such a way that was never designed to happen. So no to all the above. All right, we got to take a break, bro. We ran long. Let's go ahead and take that break right now. We'll come right back, and that's a great segue. We're going to jump right into it. The trans agenda, it's prolific right now, but it's also it's turning into a major cultural battlefield. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. So I'm jumping into the, really, it's only the second Dipper of the day, trans agenda. And I just saw, by the way, this is going to be part of the Dipper, but since she's already texted in, I'll grab this real quick. Junebug from Hartzell texted in, and she's got a listing you can go to called the Stop the Harm Database. Stop the Harm Database. And she gives you the link to the Alabama one. Stop the Harm is an organization that has committed to exposing how many transgender medical procedures are being conducted. They're not naming names. They're not violating HIPAA. What they're doing is they're actually, in fact, where's that article? Let me grab that real quick out of my stack. It's actually further down in the stack. I hadn't planned on doing this one. There may actually be more than one organization, because I'm looking at one. The one I've got in my hands now that I realize it is actually from Do No Harm. And then this one is a database from Stop the Harm database. It shows that in Alabama, there have been 35 total sex change patients, three of which have been full surgical. There have been 32 hormone and puberty blocker patients, and there have been 206 prescriptions written. And this is in what time frame? Since May of 2022. All right. And by the way, don't forget that in Alabama, we are one of the states that has blocked sex change treatments for minors. So that's in effect. That's embedded in our state code at 26-26-4 of the state code. But this database shows you state by state where the different states are in terms of their law. And in terms of what's happening. And I got to, by the way, can you, while I'm going over this next stuff, JP, would you check and see, is that Stop the Harm database just for minors, or is that for all versions? If you could figure that out from their about section on their website. But let me just say this. I've got a piece here, since I went down that road first, I'll skip forward in my material here, and I'll grab this one from Daily Caller. Daily Caller. Dateline 2 days ago, U.S. hospitals raked in $120 million performing sex changes on thousands of kids, new data shows. What do you see on that?
Stop the Harm is just for minors.
Just for minors. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. So we're looking at, that's just for minors. In the last 2 years, there have been 35 sex change patients, three of which had surgical procedures on minors in the state of Alabama. That just gets all over me, man.
And in their about page, 13,994 minors from 2019 to 2023 underwent sex change treatments, which is way higher than I would have expected.
God almighty. I tell you what, I'm not kidding when I say, I'm not trying to be melodramatic. I almost get emotional talking about this. And for those who don't know my resume, my calling for years was to work full-time professionally with kids in both counseling and in ministry. Spent 7 years on staff with Young Life, working with middle school and high school kids. Worked in an adolescent treatment center with kids who had serious emotional and psychiatric and behavioral disorders, and chemical dependency even. And I'm watching this stuff and I'm thinking, I think we as a nation are going to be judged if we're not, if we don't get a hold of this sometimes, if we let it go, if we just sit back and go, well, I'm sorry. I mean, that's, it's their life. They get to live their life, live their truth. We're going to be judged for this. All right, we come back. I'm going to lay it on thick. The trans agenda. We got stuff happening left and right, some of which is going to curl your hair, and some is going to make you applaud. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I mean it when I say it. I'm talking about Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi. All thrown in just for good measure. Hey, I'm in the second dipper of the day. It's a powerful one. You know, I put it together, and I didn't expect it to sort of hit me like it is, but it does. It just, this one is just, I mean, every once in a while there's something going on in the world, and you can sit back and be removed from it and still look at it and be emotional about it. But I'm going to be honest with you, this one I'm not so far removed from. We have friends who have the pain of having an adult daughter who has struggled for years and has decided to completely, you know, embrace a transgender lifestyle to the point of even recently having surgery. And it's pain. We've known her all of her life and love her unconditionally. But just at the same time, it's heartbreaking. And I look at it and I think, okay, there are going to be parents out there who may even hear me saying this stuff. And this is not, to talk about the topic is not an indictment on you, because the parents that I know that I'm talking about, these are wonderful, godly people who cannot fathom how this occurred with their daughter. And I know them well enough to know that there was nothing hidden in the background, no agenda, nothing in their household that I would question. And yet they're living through this. That being said, it is still something that, while it can be heartbreaking and heart-wrenching, it's real. U.S. hospitals, and this is just, listen, you look at it and go, okay, y'all, this is, the fact that you can do it doesn't mean you should. The fact that you can make money on it does not mean you should. You may recall, I think it was last year, we had, there was a discovered video from, and I believe it was Vanderbilt, that just went viral. And there was a woman there who was the director of medical services, who was at a conference, was talking about what a moneymaker these transition surgeries were. And for minors, it was a cash cow. I mean, listen, they'll sign up for this. They desperately want it. Over $120 million have been billed out by hospitals in the United States for 14,000 children-ish for sex change procedures. Now, there's a new medical group called Do No Harm. I mentioned it before the break. Do No Harm actually has a website called Stop the Harm. I did find out they are tied together. It's the same organization. And they're started by a guy named Dr. Stanley Goldfarb, who said during a recent press event that he hoped that his database was going to dispel the myths that the medical community says, well, these are very rare events. They don't happen very often. 14,000 nationwide, 14,000, you look at it and go, Phil, we're like 333 million people in the United States. Yeah, but 14,000, break it down by 50 states. You got a lot of kids in every state that are looking at this lifetime change being wreaked upon them as minors. Minors who, by the way, can't get a Costco card on their arm. Minors, many of whom are the age to be able to make legal decisions for their own, are being subjected to life-changing, altering procedures. The worst in the nation, apparently, from all of the tests, is Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, which is called the CHOP. And I hesitate to say it, but what a name. So the CHOP, the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, leads the list. There's a few others that follow. In Connecticut, Minnesota, Seattle, Los Angeles, but Children's of Philadelphia is the worst. They have done puberty blockers on children as young as 8. They have done surgeries on children as young as 14. They have trained employees in two different Pennsylvania school districts on how to transition kids through the school system. The top four states for this heinousness are California, New York, Washington, and Ohio. I don't picture Ohio that way. That's the state of J.D. Vance. I mean, I don't picture that, but there they are. More than 1,000 children in each of those states have undergone procedures. In California, over 2,000 children have received sex change procedures, including 1,359 who actually had surgical procedures. 1,359 children, for a total of $28.9 million in charges to the medical centers that provided that treatment. In June of this year, the interesting thing is this article, which I find on Daily Caller, this article cites the fact that an Alabama ban on sex change procedures, which is still being fought in the courts by progressive liberals. So yeah, the legislature passed, we called it the VCAP bill, the Vulnerable Child Protection Act, VCAP. The VCAP bill is now the law, but it's being fought by the usual suspects, Southern Poverty Law Center, you know, Human Rights Campaign, all of them. And there's an organization called the World Professional Association for Transgender Health, or WPATH. WPATH is an activist organization that portrays itself as a medical association, but what they really are is an activist association. They're the ones who are lobbying all of the various medical groups and hospital associations. And WPATH, it says that in June, documents that were unsealed in the Alabama case clearly indicated that WPATH was using information that was not evidence-based as they had been claiming. In other words, they're out there going, listen, it's all proven. We got journals. We got everything cited. All's good. And yet, you begin to realize that WPATH doctors were admitting in closed-door footage obtained in that lawsuit showing that medical interventions actually could lead to major complications, and they were not near as proven as they were claiming to be. You got situations like this one in Wyoming. Wyoming. I picture Wyoming as the rough and ready state. It's the cowboy state, right? Wyoming. Wyoming GOP governor. I just caught that. He's a Republican governor. My gosh. The Wyoming Republican governor has now removed a doctor from the state medical board for daring to oppose the transing of children. Wyoming radiologist Eric Cuban has now petitioned the federal court in Cheyenne, Wyoming, last week to reinstate him to Wyoming's Board of Medicine. He's been on the board. He was reappointed to the board by Republican Governor Mark Gordon. And only weeks after being reappointed, the governor's chief of staff notified him by telephone that the governor had removed him from the board. Why? Because he had written in support of a bill before the state legislature that would ban hormone blockers and testosterone and surgical procedures for minors. So you've got a doctor following his conscience, following what he believes to be true medical science, encouraging a piece of legislation, and the Republican governor sees fit to have him removed from the Board of Medicine. So on August 29th, just a few weeks ago, about a month and a half now, Cuban filed a lawsuit in the U.S. District Court of Wyoming accusing the governor of unlawfully retaliating against him in violation of his free speech rights. You've got a Wyoming statute that allows a governor to remove people for misconduct. Doesn't say anything about medical opinions. The article that I've got here from the Federalist ends by saying, if doctors who speak up are disqualified from holding bad medicine to account, then who's going to be left to protect our children? It's going to take people out there who are not doctors, like you and I, saying, stop it. Stop the madness. Because the trans agenda is prolific. And you've got other nations, I think Sweden being one. Believe it or not, for all their warts and blemishes right now in the United Kingdom, the British healthcare system has put a stop to transgender treatments on minors. And yet here in America, you got this. I pulled this one off of Woke Spy. Dateline 2 days ago. You probably all heard of the magazine Scientific American. Scientific American has been out there for years. It's become a liberal left-wing propaganda rag. Scientific American, by the way, just as a magazine, came out and endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris. Yay. They also ran an article most recently that claimed that the inequities between male and female athletes is a result of not biological differences. It's biases on how they're treated in sports. I'm wondering, have they taken the top female and top male athletes and told them to go compete and just see if they do well? I mean, in any sport, pick your sport. Even in golf, they have a tee box at a different location, right?
Yes, they do. And they're actually, I'm not sure which tour it's on, but it's been a big controversy of a transgender, I guess it would be a transgender female competing in female sports and is just wiping the floor with all these golfers. And it's one of those cases where the entitledness, and you could tell, you know, he probably did not do very well in his boy sports growing up, decided to become a female. And he is vehemently going after anybody who opposes it or says it's not a good idea. And it's slipping my mind which tour it's on, but, you know, he's just winning all these competitions like it's nothing. And it's sad because you have female golfers who work their entire lives just for him to come over and take it away from them. And
is it on a pro tour, or is it on an NCAA tour?
I believe it is. Let me do research.
All right, that'd be good. But but the reality is, you're seeing this happen with the transgender agenda in sports. It's blocking young female athletes from obtaining scholarships and being able to go forward in the things they've been trained for years. Because was it Massachusetts or Delaware maybe that recently had two dudes running in female track that wound up placing in the, you know, the top three at a state meet, and it blocked one girl who technically should have been in the top three if it was all female, who would have gotten a scholarship, but she didn't get enough points in the scholarship run because she placed behind them. And it's just, it's devastating when that kind of crap happens.
Yeah.
What do you got?
His name is Haley Davidson. He's in the LPGA Q school and is a step closer to qualifying for the LPGA tour.
Is the LPGA going to let him? I mean, do they not branded this as a sport yet?
I don't know. They've let them get this far.
Here's another piece you might want to know. In politics alone, the transgender agenda is out there. CBS right now is refusing to allow political advertisements that criticize Kamala Harris for supporting taxpayer dollars being used for children's transgender medical procedures. Kid you not. So a group called Catholic Vote. Catholic Vote is in the battleground states right now running TV ads that talk about how many state-funded dollars have been used to transition kids in those states. Like, for instance, they've got a commercial that they want to run in Pennsylvania showing that $16.7 million taxpayer dollars have been used for transgender surgeries. They call them mutilation surgeries on minors between the years 2015 and 2022. That includes 97 double breast amputations and 14 hysterectomies on minor girls. And they want to run that ad because Kamala Harris has evidence support for transitioning of children. They want to run the ad. CBS says no. Paramount Global, which owns CBS, is refusing to air any political advertisements that criticize Democrat nominee Kamala Harris for supporting the use of taxpayer money in children's transgender procedures. That's the National Pulse has that article, came out 3 days ago. So what we're looking at right here is the transgender agenda is everywhere. It's in sports, it's in medicine, it's in TV, it's in media, it's all around, and it's in politics in a big way. So Kamala gets a free pass. She's allowed to say she supports it, la-di-da, and then go on and do whatever word salad she wants to do, and no one's allowed to oppose that opinion. Why? Because the transgender agenda is running amok right now. And I'll be honest with you, I really feel like this is in big part because the left, and even if you get down to spiritual warfare, I think evil feels empowered right now. Evil is also desperate. Evil lives in desperation and preys on fear. Evil lives in desperation, and right now, evil is also scared to death that their days of empowerment are about to come to an end with this next election. And they're scratching and clawing for as much as they could possibly get. And it's our kids who are in the way. Our kids. are in the way. I'm going to run out of time here, aren't I? I'm going to touch on one more article, and then I'll come back and clean up with some text messages. But you might want to know that in the state of Alabama, Brookwood Medical Center in Birmingham is the organization that has done the most, made the most money on transgender treatments for minors, two of which have been actual sex change surgeries. Brookwood Baptist Medical Center, $141,000 they've made on submitted charges that we know of for transgender treatments. The second most, which is far less, but the second most has been Huntsville Hospital. Huntsville Hospital has written the most prescriptions for transgender treatments. That just bugs me. All right, we're taking a break. I need to go calm down. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. We got all kinds of text messages. Y'all have been blowing us up today. I mean, and in a good way. And I love that. I love the fact that this audience engages this show. I had a suggestion from a listener earlier, something I've been pondering, and we may have to do something about this, but mentioning that, you know, he loves Butters and Lee. I got to look back. Who was that? Mike from Coxie, I think it was. It was Mike from Coxie. Said he loves the Butters and Lee segment where they ask me a question, but he wonders would I ever just do that where I take questions for the audience. And I pointed out, I said, you know, I have been thinking about that. That Rush Limbaugh used to do what he called Open Line Friday, where he took calls and comments on any topic from the audience for a little while on Fridays. We're pondering that. JP and I have been talking it through. We may come up with something. My notion right now is to have a little bit of a free-for-all Friday time frame, but we'll see. But anyway, Mike from Coxie, thanks for the suggestion, and it's something that we have been postulating. We'll see where it goes. Crystal from Moulton texted in. She said that there was a period in time when she asked her doctor when she was 21, should she have a hysterectomy? He said he would not do it because she was too young and might change her mind. She said at 35 years old, she was told the same thing. She said, but they'll change a child from a girl to a boy today? And that's a great point. She was an adult both times, looking at a personal health issue that made her wonder whether she should need this. The doctor said he wouldn't do it because she might change her mind. And yet, doctors in some places today are telling children who are minors, sure, we'll do that. You got insurance? Mark from Tony, Alabama says, I think America has went too far, Phil. God, please have mercy. Well, we need to pray for God's mercy. We absolutely do. And yes, we have gone too far, but I will say this, it's not everybody, that there are those that have, but God looks for the remnant. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. And I do believe that's where we need to be. He looks for those who will stand in the gap. He calls out and says, who will go for us? And you can say, and it doesn't take everybody. Somebody says, here am I, send me. It doesn't say, here's all of us, send all of us. It says, here am I, send me. So what I'm saying is, God honors the remnant, the few who will get busy in his name. So there's a mini word for you. Real quick, I saw John's grades. Where'd John's grades go? They're in there. So there he is. John from Huntsville says, Phil gets an A+ for his awesome two-dipper day. James and his bicycling buddies get an A++ for their amazing endurance skills. But today's winner is JP with an A++, even though I wish he would play more sound effects.
Should I just start going rogue and playing whenever
just,
I want?
Just hit one whenever you feel like it, man. I mean, you had a triple dipper, you had a turbo Thursday, you had a whoop whoop, so you had a few. You need to explore that board and see what else you got in there.
There's so much in there.
What else I got here real quick? Chip from Muscle Shoals says the 203rd ranked male tennis player on the tour beat Venus and Serena Williams, and they are freakishly good. And he's right. In the same day, minor footnote, he was drinking beer and smoking cigarettes between games and sets.
Oh, my goodness.
I've never heard that. Am I hearing music play? I can barely hear it. All right, that means the music's playing and the preacher's got to quit preaching. Y'all, we love you. Don't forget, there are more of us than there are of them. God is still on his throne. Stay in the fight. We'll see you tomorrow.